The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Republic Broadcasting Network, this is the National Intel Report with your host, John of Talk with John. Unfortunately, it is not the great John Stadtmiller. It's just the mediocre Talk with John. Maybe even mediocre is too high a praise. Today is August 5th, 2022. We are in our second hour right now. I have David Pine joining me, and I'll be introducing him just a little bit more in just a moment. We will be taking calls this hour. The call-in number is 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252. If you're minute challenged, dial extension 800-313-9443. And a great way to interact with us, in fact, a great way that you could have interacted with us when we weren't taking calls in the first hour, is by interacting with me on Twitter at TalkWithJohn1. That's Talk with J-O-N 1. Right now, though, I have joining me David Pine. David Pine is become, dare I say, a friend of mine. Now, how about this? I consider him a friend. That probably would be a little dangerous for him to accept that statement. But David Pine is been in, and I'm trying to, I don't know why his information went away from me. There it is. He is currently the Deputy Director of National Operations EMP Task Force on National and Homeland Security. He's a former U.S. Army Headquarters Staff Officer over Russia and National Security Expert, as well as quite an expert when it comes to China and the Pacific region as well. So we had join us in the last hour, Roger Landry. We want to thank you for, or thank him for joining us. It was a great conversation. It was an awesome high-level conversation. So those of you that missed it, you're going to want to go to either the website and listen to that first hour, or you're going to want to go to, there's podcasts that are available. I'm going to listen to it on my iPodcast. So it will be available here, I believe, later this evening for your listening enjoyment. But also, it's truly educational. Now, a couple things that I want to hit and come back to. We're really hitting hard, and why I got you on this week, David, and said I had to make it happen, is because of the visit with Nancy Pelosi. So let's kind of go back into it. Nancy Pelosi decides to do this Pacific tour, I guess. I asked you the question, why is she doing it now? But not just why is she doing it now. I don't believe these things happen ever just like a congressperson, even if it's the... I just drew a blank. I almost said president of the House.
Speaker of the House.
Speaker of the House. Thank you.
Yep.
Normally the speaker, you know, even the Speaker of the House doesn't have it happen just because she feels the urge. I'm wondering who's pushing her to do it. And Biden was warned by President Xi. She better not come over here. There was even some, I don't know what, it wasn't directly from Xi, but there was within, I believe, the military world of China, within one of their military leaders, there was the veiled threat that we may even shoot down that plane. So, and then we know, once she did go over there, that China launched missiles around Taiwan and even in the waters of Japan. So China wanted to make sure that they weren't losing face. So I kind of want to know, why do you think she did it? Why do you think she was pushed? And frankly, there's a part of me that goes, it's obvious that the United States has lost a lot of strength in the world's eyes, because the Speaker of the House going anywhere in the world should not be a problem for a big country like ours, or at least the way we've been 20 years ago. China would have never done what they did.
So I agree with Roger. I think that this is all Pelosi. It was obviously Biden didn't want her to go. Biden actually did a public campaign, essentially leaking her visit in the hopes of dissuading her from going. Her visit was initially scheduled, if I recall, in April. However, she got COVID and had to cancel the trip, and she postponed it to this date, August 2nd. Actually, she didn't say. She said, kind of the early August timeframe. And in the meantime, China, of course, we had a leaked Chinese PLA military video in which they talked about the need to finish their war mobilization preparations, including retrofitting 365 RoRo ships, which are essentially tank landing ships, which they converted for civilian use. They had a directive to convert them back to military use by the end of June, and as well as to recruit a certain number of additional military troops by the end of June. So the very fact that they wanted those to be ready for war by the end of June suggested a very near Chinese aggression timeline. And as far as her trip, I have called it a gift to Beijing, because, China really, if Pelosi hadn't done this, I think they would have kind of done pretty much the same thing anyway. They just would have had to think up a lamer pretext. This one's a pretty good pretext. They warned, the U.S. that Pelosi should not come as the third rank, the second in line in succession to the president of the United States, were the president and vice president to die, then she would become president. It was not a violation of her policy, but a lot of the statements she made were a violation of her policy. She said, while in Taiwan, she said she supported Taiwanese independence. Well, we're not supposed to say that. According to the three or six communiques from 1979, when we unrecognized Taiwan and withdrew all our troops from the island, we weren't supposed to talk in those terms. We were supposed to talk about one China. Taiwan and China are one, and we're wanting to maintain the status quo. Well, the Declaration of Independence would be a violation of the status quo. So there are a lot of reasons why this was a major foreign policy error, which could tragically, at minimum, it's going to result in the loss of Taiwan's independence. But it could also result in a nuclear war between the U.S., Russia, China, and North Korea.
I want to throw another piece into this puzzle. I actually think this helped President Xi a bunch. Okay, so is it in September that he's up again for?
It's November.
November. Okay, yep. So in November he's up again for election and for an unprecedented third term in China. So this really helps. This helps out his case. It's like a gift. He needed to look strong in order to be able to secure that position. And then when you throw on top of it that you have, and then there's one other piece that's not part of Taiwan, but it's similar to it in me, my opinion. I want to read a news article from this morning. Speaker Nancy Pelosi travels to South Korea after a historic visit to Taiwan this week. President Yoon Suk, I'm not even going to try to say his name, refused to meet with her. He didn't want to interrupt his vacation. Is there a bigger slap in the face?
Obviously he saw the writing on the wall. You know, China's the effect of I think it's President Tsai of Taiwan meeting with Pelosi is that Taiwan's is now under blockade and is on the verge of invasion and occupation. So facing North Korea, there's no doubt in a one-on-one fight, North Korea would annihilate South Korea due to its nuclear and chemical weapons. You know, without nuclear and chemical weapons, I think South Korea might have the upper hand. But the reality is, in any Korean war, South Korea is not going to win. You know, it'll be lucky to survive under North Korean occupation. So that obviously was the reason that he chose to snub Pelosi and just do a video conference. But another point I wanted to make before we continue any further is that one of the reasons for this timetable that China has been planning, I think for many months now, in terms of an aggression against Taiwan and other neighboring Pacific Island nations, is because of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, which is ongoing. U.S. national security experts have actually stated their belief that Russia's failure to quickly win the war in Ukraine has caused China to pause. Well, obviously, that's not the case. We've never seen this level of aggression against Taiwan in Chinese history. But in fact, as Senator Coons, who's a Democrat, a liberal Democrat, has stated, I believe he's on the Intel Committee in the Senate, he stated that, this actually is moving up China's blockade or kind of aggression strategy against Taiwan, the fact that the Ukrainian war is ongoing because U.S. forces, the U.S. has been preoccupied with Ukraine, depleting our own stores, 1/3 to 1/4 of all of our Javelin anti-tank guided missiles, as well as our Stinger anti-aircraft missiles, which can't be readily replaced. We've sent from our U.S. military inventory under lend-lease to Ukraine, to the Ukrainian military. And, it's not a vital national interest of the U.S. whether the Donbass region remains Ukrainian or under Russian control.
I hate to say this, but I think it really makes maybe 3% difference to the United States, whether, 3 to 5% difference, whether Ukraine is part of Russia or its own independent country. Now, I believe it's a overall good for Ukraine to remain its own independent nation because I believe that sanctity of nations is very important. But when it comes to the United States, other than that position, I don't think it matters a whole bunch. In fact, it may even become a better situation if Ukraine was completely under Russia as far as their ability to produce and constant security, lack of war, so on and so forth along those lines, with the exception of maybe it really doesn't help our labs from the United States standpoint.
Yeah, I've actually stated that similar, not quite as extensive a point as you just made, but I've stated that it's in the U.S. national security interest for Russia to win the battle of the Donbass region because they already control 76% of it. And once they control 100% of it, the war might end. Putin may decide unilaterally, okay, I've got everything I want now. I mean, declare a unilateral ceasefire. And if you don't agree to our peace terms, we're just going to annex the whole region, which is actually what he's planning on doing in September, most likely on September 11th, which coincidentally happens to be Russia's standard voting day.
Well, let's get to a couple of calls. Mike called in the first hour. Now, let me tell you a couple points that I do want to hit before we get out of here. When it comes to North and South Korea, a friend of ours, Joel Skousen has some interesting thoughts on that. I think it's worth pointing out. I do want to get to what China and Russia are doing in the United States, specifically China in Texas. I don't know if you want to hit that. I do want to hit PD 60. I want to ask you, is China the largest military in the world? Not by volume of money, but volume of people. And then we'll come back to China's biggest carrier. Its name kind of, I think, is showing where they want to head with things. So, but before we get to any of those, hopefully we will get to all of those. I don't know that we will. But Mike in Kentucky, what's on your mind?
Well, before I get to what's on my mind, you just mentioned their carriers. And I think one of the goals of China is to make basically the carrier concept of aircraft carriers obsolete with some of their efforts toward hypersonic weapons that cannot be, the phalanx guns and stuff like that won't be able to stop them. They would just come in too fast and go right through the carrier and or their support ships.
I'm gonna pull a Roger Landry right here. I brought that up with Roger Landry, and he said from his opinion, we still have the technology that can stop that. Now, David, hopefully, do you have a thought that disagrees with that? And Mike, we'll let you continue in a moment.
I do. Okay. I would say our ability to shoot down hypersonic missiles is very limited. It's very limited. It's almost the level of no capability, but it's between very limited and no capability at this time.
It has to be detected on perigee when it's before it re-enters somehow. They have to detect it on launch or on perigee before it can, you know, get close enough and hit it with shrapnel or something to throw off the trajectory. I mean, there's possible methods there, but if they've got those methods, they're not going to talk about them because they don't want China to redesign around that. But what I wanted to bring up is what you got into last hour, and I kept listening and waiting for somebody to bring it up. And a couple of things. When Hurricane Harvey hit Houston, some of this was kind of hinted at. And, of course, back in the height of the Cold War, what I call reverse propaganda, the movie Dr. Strangelove hinted at this. And then we saw what happened when you're talking about the grid being hardened. They didn't spend probably, I mean, would it have cost $800,000 at most to put the generators at Fukushima up on that hill behind there so they could keep the dang pumps running? Because what a lot of people don't realize is these 90 currently licensed and operating sites in America, not only do they have, if you go do a deep dive and dig into the estimates of how long these concrete dry cask storage will last. Nobody seems to agree on how long this dry cask storage will last. And a lot of people don't realize, even if you do a scram of the reactors, you know, you pull the rods apart, the rods still remain hot for like 6 years. So, you know, the grid goes down. Maybe they've got, you know, underground tanks, and they've got, you know, the generators are still running. They're running the circulation pumps at these 90 sites. And I think there's one site out at Nantucket on that little hook of Massachusetts. The Patriot nuclear plant had something like six times the amount of fuel rods sitting around than Fukushima does. So, you know, a tsunami bomb or something that takes down the grid, you know, the estimates are 90% of America would be dead. The wreck that is America, you have to wonder if the world consensus think tank types out there, if somebody was stupid enough to pull this to try to wreck America, or a natural disaster occurred that wrecked America.
David,
the amount of, I'm going to have you answer that. Smoldering stuff sitting around,
Mike,
would kill
hold on,
the world.
Hold on. Mike, I think I hear music playing for the break. David,
I'm getting to a point. But
after this break is done, I'm going to let you answer it. Now, Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we are moments away from going to break. Is that correct? We'll talk more on the other side of this break.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
National Intel Report. However, I'm your host, John, of Talk with John. Saturdays 3 to 5 Mountain Time, you can join me on my show typically. And also, here in Utah, I do a radio show, and John told me in the past that I could mention that show. Mondays and Tuesdays, 10 a.m. to noon, Mountain Time, you can join me on ktalkmedia.com. That's how you can hear it from if you're not in Salt Lake County. Salt Lake County is AM 1640. Now, right now, I'm with the notorious David Pine. Now, let me give you out a little information on David real quick. He is the, he is the Deputy Director of National Operations and EMP Task Force on National and Homeland Security. He's a former U.S. Army Headquarters Staff Officer. And he is an expert in Russia and national security. Now, he also, the reason why I call him the notorious David Pine, is because the Ukraine came out and said he is enemy number one. He is above Colonel McGregor. He's above Tulsi Gabbard. He's above Ron Paul. He is the most evil human being on the face of the earth because he thinks that he made some statements that weren't exactly pro-Ukraine.
David, first let me just answer the question of the caller if he's still online or listening before our last segment. Okay. So it sounds like you asked, is the U.S. Indispensable in the world's eyes? And I think the answer is no. China is really replacing us as the dominant economic power. They manufacture nearly twice as much as we do at this point. Their economy is the largest in the world, about 120% larger based on purchase power parity. But I also want to say that I don't think it's, I guess Joel Skousen, I'm told by John, differs, but I don't think Russia and China's ultimate plan is to destroy us. I think they wonder if they may have to, feel they have to, because we keep making the wrong choices and doing things against our national interests. And what I've been arguing is we need to stay out of their spheres of influence. Russia and China,
what you last said there, they may have to. That could be in a limited nuclear exchange or some other series of events. We could see America, the smoldering remnant of America, be a problem for the Northern Hemisphere. And, if I was president of the world, I'd be tempted to unleash something like the Yellowstone caldera to bury the mess under 6 foot of volcanic ash, because we're talking about 288,000 tons of leaching nuclear waste alone. And when we saw Hurricane Harvey hit Houston, it was less than 4 days until a thing like the peroxide plant blew up. And because without electrical grid and maintenance, and of course then you got people at these plants have to be fed, if there's a general chaos that lasts more than a few months, there can be a mass exodus of people. If they can get out, they will leave.
It's 3 days. Mike, it's 3 days. The charts say that if there's mass chaos in anywhere, especially nationwide, where you have loss of power and water, it's 3 days mass chaos.
Well, I've tried to talk to law enforcement about that to protect the stores, to try to get a security force in every county that could protect the stores from looting, like what happened in the riots in Los Angeles. The only people that saved their store inventory had rifles and they were up on the roof, the Koreans, I think.
Mike, I'm going to let you ask one last question and then I need to let you go. We've got other callers and we need to get back to
you. Okay, I just wondered if you'd studied what we have essentially is a de facto doomsday weapon, because if anybody dares to attack America on any kind of a real scale, the smoldering mess that's left would jeopardize the Northern Hemisphere at least. If they attack, if Russia was to attack us, it's going to go back on them. I mean, even if they figured out a way, and Snowden let that leak out, I think, as well as Julian Assange. We had malware in the electrical grid to take down Germany and France. They're supposed to be our allies. So I think that's one factor to why Germany dismantled their nuclear industry in addition to Fukushima. Have you looked at that?
Thanks for your time. David?
All right. Yeah, so in answer to Mike's question, the Russians have more effective and more efficient ways of destroying us than nuclear attack. They have cyber and EMP weapons. EMP is probably the most effective that could, in terms of first or second order effects, it could kill off 90% of our population through starvation, starvation-related diseases, and civil unrest, mass violence. So, that's definitely.
We got a break. I've got a comment to you about that when we get on the other side of the break.
One shot at a time.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Barron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
This is wonderful thing. It's called Vote with Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product, has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
In your eyes, the light, the heat. The thousand churches, the resolution of all the ruthless soldiers. Oh, I see the light and the heat. Oh, I wanna be that complete. I wanna touch the light, the heat I see in your eyes.
Now, Republic Broadcasting, this is the National Intel Report. I am your host, John of Talk with John, filling in. Well, it's a kind of a permanent assignment. We're all trying to fill in for John Stadtmuller. There's not a great fill-in, but it's an honor to be here. Let's just put it that way. So right now, an even bigger honor to have the most despised man in Ukraine. David Pine. He is more despised than Colonel McGregor, Rand Paul, Tulsi Gabbard. Why is that the case?
Well, first of all, thanks for that. It's good to be despised in the world. I've seen my articles read in, I don't know, 8 to 10 different countries, including Russia and China. Not all of them, but certain of them. And obviously this one made it. The one that I published most recently had an even bigger impact than my peace proposal from early April. So the reason that they have classed me as enemy number 17 on the high-profile list of influential Americans, 28 total, ahead of all the much better-known people that you mentioned, like Tulsi Gabbard, is because I published on June 18th in the National Interest at nationalinterest.org, I published what I believe to be the most serious, thoughtful, and comprehensive peace proposal. It's a 15-point peace proposal. I call it a peace without victory proposal after Woodrow Wilson's famous speech of peace without victory. And it's essentially a compromise peace agreement in which the Russians would withdraw all of their troops from Ukraine, with the exception of the ones they already have in the Donbass region. And the part that they despise is the part that where I called for a popular referendum in the Donbass on the question of independence from Ukraine. Of course, if the citizens of the Donbass, under an internationally supervised plebiscite, if they were to vote to remain with Ukraine would win the war. All of the Russian troops would have to withdraw, and they would win the war without the loss of a single Ukrainian soldier. So how they feel that that is anti-Ukrainian in any way or pro-Russian propaganda, I'll leave to your listeners to decide.
What is Chris Herod's thoughts on that?
Chris Herod's thoughts?
Yeah.
Chris and I, we butted heads on Facebook a while back, and then I had him on my show, my Saturday show, Defend America, which is 3 to 4 p.m. on Saturdays here in Utah, AM 1640. And we had a great interview. It was just a one-on-one. And, he didn't like the options, but he agreed with me that my list of options was kind of the realistic perspective, and that Ukraine had no chance of defeating Russia. And that if they lost any territory at all to Russia, it wouldn't be just, but it was reality.
Okay. Let's go ahead, and if we can, let's get to our next caller, James in Vancouver. James, what's on your mind, sir?
Good afternoon. Dr. Kelly from California wanted me to call in and mention that today is August 5th, and it's 9 months since John Stadtmiller passed away. But I had another point to make. You have the midterm elections coming on the 8th of November, am I correct? So
yes, that's
Nancy
right, yes.
Nancy Pelosi, it may be that they wanted to start some ruckus, and that will interfere with the midterm elections. I just thought that might be an idea.
James, hold on for a minute. Okay, what are your thoughts, David?
That's definitely run past my mind. I think it was a fake news article or went viral. I think it was modified. A Washington Post author that said had a news title that said to save democracy, Biden must cancel the midterm elections. So I think that was fake news. It might have been real, but political facts. All those other liberal groups that normally fact check are saying it's fake. In this case, they might be right. But it's certainly, a thought that's passed my mind is that, we might have this major crisis. Certainly, if we were in a war, I think that, Biden would have an argument, not a good argument, but at least he'd have a real pretext to cancel or delay the elections. It wouldn't, if he were to cancel it, we'd all know he just proclaimed himself dictator like Adolf Hitler, which is, I've actually made a lot of comparisons between him and Hitler prior to, when Hitler first took power from 33 to 34. Right. So, yeah, that's potential concern. But I honestly don't think that's going to happen.
Some guy that doesn't know very much jump in and give his opinion? I'm going to say the chances of that are about 1%. I just don't see it as a real opportunity. Biden's not strong enough now mentally to be able to, and I don't think there's too much talk in the national media of his mental decline for something along those lines to happen when you speak of just Biden. Now, could we move out Biden and put someone else in place before then? There is a small possibility that might raise it to 2%, but I just don't think it's very likely. All right. Hey, James.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
You call me on my show, not this week, but next week. Let's chat. I've been calling for you to call in and chat with me because we had a little interaction that I wasn't able to get to on my show about 3 weeks ago.
I want to chat with you a little more. That lame duck senator. Yeah, no, I'll call you. By the
Congressman.
Way, what does ThinkPAC say in Hawaii? What does ThinkPAC say in Hawaii? What's their plans? The Commander-in-Chief James, of the Pacific, what are they going to do? Yeah.
James, thanks for your call. David?
I haven't read what the ThinkPAC has stated. I doubt he's making foreign policy. I think that's coming out of the White House, not out of Biden, obviously, because Biden, you know, he doesn't seem to have control of his own news conferences and isn't allowed to ask questions at many of those conferences. But obviously, it's a huge threat. We're on the verge of World War III, a nuclear war with both Russia and China over Ukraine and Taiwan. I think the Taiwan threat is much more dangerous. From a U.S. perspective, because there's going to be a lot of pressure for us to defend Taiwan in the event of a Chinese invasion or occupation of the main islands. I think it's going to be a fait accompli. This is actually the reason I started writing an article just last Tuesday about a potential Chinese blockade is because I was actually hoping that they would pursue this blockade strategy because it's the one. I knew that they were going to make a move on Taiwan regardless this summer or fall. But it's the one strategy that minimizes the chances of a direct U.S. military response. And so it's the one that gives us the best chance of avoiding World War III with Russia and China.
Okay, so David, I want to actually pat you on the back, even though initially this may not sound like a pat on the back. You predicted, I believe it was in May, you thought that there was a pretty good chance that actually China would do a naval and land assault on Taiwan. And the reason why is there, the main reason why you picked May is because, as you shared with me, I learned from you that the tides and so forth are best at that time, the strait between Taiwan and mainland China, which the city that has an aircraft carrier named after it happens to be across the way. Now, I actually think that you had very good reason to say that because they were at times doing not just fighter flights that were going into Taiwanese airspace. They had fighters as well as bombers going into Taiwanese airspace. They were invading, and I want to say the flights were above 20. I want to say even as many as 35, if I remember correctly hearing, or at least reading. So the prediction of this happening, you've been basically calling out that this is going to happen all along. You know, the timeline, we can't necessarily control. There's things that are up. But you said in the earlier, I think it was in the first hour, Pelosi might even have sped up the timeline.
Yeah, so it was actually last October. Last October, I wrote in the National Interest predicting that Russia and China would engage in simultaneous attacks. I didn't predict necessarily the timeline for this year at that point, but I said that if they did attack, the only question is, you know, if Russia invaded Ukraine or the Baltics, then China would invade Taiwan around the general same while that conflict was going on, and vice versa. And if in fact, I mean, right now China's blockading Taiwan, the chances of them halting the blockade seem pretty low. But if they continue that blockade, you know, then my prediction will be proven accurate. Also, last week, I was writing an article which I published on Saturday, but I began writing it Tuesday and then by Wednesday, actually by I think Thursday or Friday, I decided that, you know, it was actually Pelosi's visit that would cause a blockade. And at that point, almost no one was predicting a blockade, let alone that Pelosi's visit would spark this level of a Chinese military response.
All right. Let's get to Pat in Fort Worth. Pat, what's on your mind?
Hi. I just wanted to ask you, do our planes do they have the EMP shield? I can't remember. And Taiwan has some real nice planes now. Do they have planes or missiles that we could also go over and drop EMP bomb or shoot an EMP bomb on China so they go out?
Pat, that's a good question. Thank you, Pat, for calling. Appreciate you being there.
Israel has the rod of God. They can intercept missiles, but do other people have it?
So the rod of God, I've seen no concrete evidence we actually have that. It's possible we have it. I know there's a secret weapon that the Department of Defense was supposed to reveal as early as 2020, which they haven't. I doubt that it's game-changing, so it might be real, but it's not something that would change the outcome of any conflict that the U.S. was involved in my opinion. But in terms of your question, the answer is yes. U.S. military aircraft and missiles are, as well as Air Force One, are hardened to a certain level for against EMP. Me and my associates, Dr. Peter Pry, Executive Director of EMP Task Force on National Homeland Security, believe the level of EMP protection for the U.S. military assets, including Air Force One, is insufficient to withstand a super EMP attack.
Wow.
So because the super EMP is actually, those are Cold War standards, essentially, that they were hardened to, that were based on 1980s technology. Super EMPs weren't invented until the 90s. So that's an additional level of risk. If Air Force One were in the air, my assessment is that it would get shot down by a super EMP attack.
Wow. That is big. What about our F-35? Okay, which is the most advanced fighter? Do you know, the F-35 or the F-22?
Well, the F-22 is the most capable. F-35 is the Joint Strike Fighter, which is kind of a fighter/attack aircraft. But F-22 is our best air superiority aircraft at this point.
And are those aircraft capable of withstanding a super EMP?
No. No, they're all hardened to Cold War EMP levels. They're off by a factor of about 4 or 5 from what they need to be hardened to.
Holy moly!
According to our estimates,
that's scary. So that EMP goes off, and the planes either fall out of the sky or don't get a launch.
Yeah, and not only that, but if there was an EMP attack that occurred while our nuclear missiles were had already been launched, then those missiles would be disabled, either would miss their targets, they would miss their targets, and they might also have their nuclear weapons not even detonate. So the impact of a super EMP attack, it almost can't even be overestimated.
Okay, so if I understood her correctly, she said, doesn't Taiwan have missiles and airplanes that are capable of defending themselves and attacking China, if I understood her question correctly? And
yes.
I think that's a good question to ask.
So I have no personal knowledge whether they're hardened to the same level against EMP as our aircraft. Obviously, Taiwan does have the capability, in theory, to conduct conventional military strikes on China. But ultimately, China has massive air defenses and massive air superiority over Taiwan. So it's highly unlikely that any of those attacks would get through. Taiwan does have short-range ballistic missiles, ship-based missiles. So it has a limited capability to attack China. The main threat that I think Taiwan poses would be anti-ship missiles. China's going to likely want to take those out right away at the first sign of a Taiwanese military response.
And so there's not, they don't have much fighters.
They have F-16s and other less capable aircraft.
Does China have anything comparable to the F-22? I believe it's either, I want to say that the F-22 is that fifth generation aircraft.
Yeah, the F-22 and F-35 are fifth-generation aircraft. We only have, I think, a few hundred of them, about 335 or so. China does have about the same number, if not more, fifth-generation aircraft. I think principally the J-20, which has been used in exercises a lot lately.
Okay, so let's we've got not even quite probably 8 minutes left. So I want to hit PD-60 real quick and a little bit of thoughts on Joel Skousen. And so I want to hear why you changed your what your thought process has changed a little bit. So PD-60, for those that don't know, Presidential Directive 60 is a presidential directive that was done under Bill Clinton where we accept a first impact.
Yeah, that's right.
Nuclear missiles. And so there was some questions that were asked by a general of like, well, how could we respond? And he's like, what would we have to respond with? If we have the missiles, the idea is the first country to lose, the old thought process was the first country to launch missiles actually lost because the second country knew where to launch missiles to that were not the empty silos. And when that general was asked, well, how do we withstand a first? He's like, we can't because all of our silos are going to be there and the doors are going to be basically held shut. We don't have much response if we absorb a first nuclear wave attack. Joel Skousen's thoughts are the reason he thought that North Korea was the launch point. North-South Korea was where World War III was going to start. So handle those two questions together. What are your thoughts, David?
Yeah, PDD-60 was signed by Bill Clinton in 1997, and I checked during the Trump administration just a few years ago and confirmed it's still in force. It was still in force during the entirety of the Trump administration. So what that does is it says that official U.S. policy is that we absorb the first nuclear impact. So not the first nuclear strike, the first nuclear impact. So in the case of a nuclear war with Russia or China, the first nuclear impact would be Washington, D.C. So they would take out our national command authority in an attempt to prevent us from even launching a nuclear retaliatory attack against them. So PDD-60 has got to go. I mean, that's essentially saying that, yeah, we're going to let you cut our head off, and then at that point we'll strike back. So not a good plan.
Do you think Trump even knew about PDD-60?
Yes, I do. But so Trump he had tremendously good instincts, but he was often countered and stymied by his deep state advisors, both political and military.
I don't know how you can say that, David. I mean, it's not like he had a general in the military that's told China he'd call him if there was ever any, you know.
Yeah, you're talking about General Milley, the most traitorous general in United States history. Famously, not only did he plan a military coup against the president of the United States, but he told China that if the president was about to attack China, he would make sure that China had advance notice so they could kill as many. Enabling them to kill as many Americans as possible in the defense of China.
That man needs to be court-martialed, tried for treason, and I won't say the rest of the things that should be done. slow, painful death. Yeah, throw him in Guantanamo and let the guys out of their cells.
Yeah, forget Leavenworth. Send him to Guantanamo. you had another question that I think I forgot.
So what are your thoughts on North Korea, South Korea not being, and the reason why Joel Skousen said it is in Taiwan, there's nothing there. We don't have really any military. We have some military troops, but they're very few. In fact, they're really not even supposed to be there. But I believe it's somewhere in the neighborhood of 20,000 troops.
23,000, yeah.
So 23,000 in South Korea. If China was to attack, or the surrogate nation of China, North Korea, hits that area, brings the United States into war.
Yeah.
Lightning fast.
Yeah, so Dr. Peter Pry has referred to our troops in Korea and elsewhere throughout the world as nuclear tripwires. So there are not enough troops to defend the nations where they're stationed at, but there are enough troops to ensure a world war, which would quickly escalate to the nuclear level. So he's absolutely right about that. I do differ with him in his assessment that North Korea is going to be kind of the beginning point of World War III. I think that Taiwan is obviously the most likely place for that to start. It just depends on how Biden reacts. I mean, if he reacts correctly by staying out of the fight, then we will avoid World War III, save tens of millions of lives, and help it ensure our continued existence for the U.S. and its treaty allies in the Indo-Pacific. But if he chooses to respond militarily, or if there's an accidental military clash because he sends our, you know, the U.S. 7th Fleet too close to the PLA Navy or Air Forces operating in the Western Pacific, then it could be a different story. As I mentioned in the previous hour, we could have, we could be at war with three different nuclear powers simultaneously, Russia, China, and North Korea.
So I don't see China or Russia attacking the United States for a very long time. They would basically, in my opinion, they'd do the super EMP, and then they'd let us kill ourselves.
Yeah, so that's
But they can take over. There's hardly any firearms in Taiwan, Australia. We know that they've been taken away. Basically, to me, that's a huge reason for every country to have their populace have firearms. Is we have big bad countries that are willing to do big bad things.
Yeah, if they were to EMP us, and it would, you know, we lost 90% of our population within a year. Even though we have 400 million firearms, we'd only have 38 million Americans, you know, or even 33 or 34 million Americans left to firearms. So, and even if only half of our population was killed and we had 165 million Americans, we'd all be engaged in a civil war fighting each other. Just, you know, for the last scraps of food and water to feed our families. So, you know, EMP is part of even Iran's military doctrine. You know, Iran is has IRBMs. They're developing ICBMs. And what country has developed ICBMs without first having nuclear weapons? Obviously, the chance of Iran having nuclear weapons are pretty high. I don't think they can range us yet as North Korea, Russia, and China do. Can right now. So those three countries are the main threats as I see them.
David, there really isn't any time left, so I'm just going to say thank you. We're going to do this again in September. We'll nail down the date. I believe it's September 9th. Thank you so much for joining us here on the National Intel Report. I truly appreciate you, appreciate what you do, and thank you for your service to your country now as much as anything.
Thanks, John. Have a great weekend.
God bless. This has been the National Intel Report. Folks, have a great weekend.
Red, white, and blue, we must take America back. We must take America back.
Hi. Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC. 417-932-6419.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.